There's an encouraging report just out from the University of Michigan's Transportation Research Institute about fuel economy. The average fuel economy of new U.S. light vehicles sold in March rose to 25.4 miles per gallon. Now, that's the highest since the researchers started tracking this data in October 2007. That got us wondering just how we are faring in the quest to squeeze out better mileage from our cars and trucks, and the quest to create electric, hybrid, natural gas, and fuel cell vehicles and technologies. We're joined by Charles Griffith. He's the Climate and Energy Program Director at the Ecology Center in Ann Arbor. Charles, we look back to October 2007, and we realize average fuel economy of new vehicles is now up 5.3 miles per gallon. Is this something to celebrate?
I think so. It's really good news, and it shows that both the automakers have worked really hard to meet the new standards, and of course there's, you know, now legal reasons that they need to do so. But it also shows that they've sort of hit the nail on the head in terms of providing products that consumers are willing to buy.
So these are cars that are in driveways all across America.
That's right. People are
living with these cars. We also found that the average monthly emissions generated by an individual driver for February also moved in the right direction, which is down. Is this due to what drivers are doing, or is this advances in technology by the automakers?
It's a little bit of a mix. I mean, as we just noted, mm-hmm. the technology is getting better, but also the way that consumers are choosing to use those vehicles is improving too.
And how so? What are
well,
we doing differently?
What it means is that you're choosing to drive high mileage cars as much as possible. You know, many of us have a couple of cars in our garage, perhaps more, depending on the size of the family, and sometimes use different cars for different purposes. And so that's one of the factors, and one of the interesting opportunities as we sort of look at some of the advanced technologies. Because if you've got, you know, a vehicle that is great for taking the long trips, but maybe one that's great around town that's electric and can save you money and fueling at the same time, then more options are available to the average family.
Now, as you referred to earlier, the Obama administration made it the law. They set goals raising these CAFE standards. That's the corporate average fuel economy. And it's supposed to be 54.5 MPG by 2025. So in your opinion, is this setting the bar too low, too high, or is it about right?
I think in the near term, we're definitely on track. I think it's a good goal. In the long term, I actually am thinking that we could find that they're too low. While they seem pretty high right today, and I think you'll find a number of people saying, oh, you know, it's questionable whether we can keep that rate of technology development going. I've also been talking with some colleagues about the fact that, you know, this when you project out far enough, it gets hard to predict, right?
Mm-hmm.
We tend to be conservative in our projections and think more linearly. You know, we can only keep going at this 5% improvement a year, which is roughly what the EPA and the regulatory agencies determined was reasonable based on, you know, technology development.
And talking to the automakers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But a lot of times you also find with new technology that you get synergistic effects that no one could predict. And this colleague of mine has been actually looking into this and finding that, you know, more often than not, you find that you get bigger stepwise improvements in technology that you didn't know were possible because, you know, one technology that, let's say, might reduce the weight of a vehicle allows you to downsize the engine, which allows you to, you know, do other things which you hadn't really thought of before. 2017 is going to come up pretty quickly. We may not determine that there's any big breakthroughs by then, but we might at the same time.
So the view could be quite different by 2017 or 2018, thereabouts. So take it a few years out and who knows?
Sure. Yep.
If you just joined us, we're speaking with Charles Griffith, who is the Climate and Energy Program Director at the Ecology Center in Ann Arbor, as we talk about the quest to squeeze out better mileage from our cars and trucks, and also to look ahead to create electric, hybrid, natural gas, and fuel cell vehicles and technologies that really can be taken home by American drivers and used and loved. And when you talk about EVs, we know that the automakers had to cut prices on some EVs to get them moving off lots. Nissan's Leaf and Toyota's plug-in Prius, for instance, that the sales were short of the target, so they cut the prices. Was that consumer reluctance, do you think, due to this range anxiety, worrying, will my car die on me as I'm out on I-75 somewhere?
I actually don't think range anxiety is the reason. I think that it has more to do with, you know, consumer uncertainty about the technology. It's new, as well as the price premium that these vehicles carry. You know, I think they are affordable vehicles for some today. And, you know, if you take that larger upfront cost and spread it out over the life of a vehicle and look at the fuel savings from, you know, paying, you know, equivalent of maybe 50 cents a gallon for the electricity that goes into to get you a mile of
versus the $3.79 a gallon.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, you start to recoup those price disadvantages. But, you know, it's got to work for the consumer. You got to be driving enough miles to be able to get that benefit. And you need to be able to drive enough miles in electric mode, which is the reason that you really need the and want to have more infrastructure available for recharging these vehicles. The reason that you want to have more availability of additional charging infrastructure is because, number one, that people want to get the maximum amount of driving in their electric car as they can. We want to sort of level the playing field between electric vehicles and the more conventional gasoline-powered cars. And, you know, where the fueling infrastructure is really abundant, you can go find a gas station on most corners.
Sure.
Right? So we need to add more value for consumers that choose to go electric so that they can get as many opportunities to recharge and or refuel their vehicle when they're out and about. And, you know, that part of that is just, you know, between work or, you know, the usual places that they go. But then looking out a little bit further, you start looking at, okay, well, how can I travel city to city and get more access to electricity? And there's some interesting examples out there. I don't know if you've heard about, you know, Tesla, which is unfortunately not one of the Michigan-made electric vehicle products
sure.
that we, of course, like to encourage folks to look at. They are building a highway that crisscrosses the country from west to east and north to south along the East Coast and West Coast so that Tesla owners can go and recharge their vehicles for free, and they can actually travel. They're all electric in their all electric Teslas from coast to coast and from border to border.
Never heard
of that. So that's pretty amazing and a very active role that the automaker in this case is playing to actually build out that infrastructure.
And is that type of example being watched by the other automakers?
Oh yeah. People are watching Tesla very very closely.
So where do you think, Charles, that we will be? Let's roll out 10 years from now. What percentage do you think will of the cars on the roads, do you think we'll see that will be all these alternative vehicles?
I think we're going to continue to see steady growth in electric vehicles, and it will be aided if we can support that with investments in the infrastructure that I talked about. I'd like to see the state of Michigan support cities that are investing in that infrastructure, you know, maybe some kind of matching program. You know, it's good for the state because we are producing those vehicles in the state and we want to maintain that leadership. You know, our economic development officials have been great at attracting the industry here. But on the flip side, we haven't done as much as a number of other states in sort of encouraging the demand of those vehicles. And building out the infrastructure is one of the ways that you do that.
Interesting conversation, Charles, with Charles Griffith, who's the Climate and Energy Program Director at the Ecology Center in Ann Arbor. Thank you so much for joining us today, Charles.
It was a pleasure.